nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Now, in the second part, I'll tell you about spatial correlation. Again, 606, if you paid attention, you don't need any more things to learn about oxide breakdown and position determination. I'll show you how it works. So let me show you the problem I have already discussed in the first part, that we want to know whether having one breakdown forces the other breakdowns to happen close by, assuming that time acceleration is not very much, right? We saw last time that it is xi equals 0.25 or so, 25% or so. So it's not very much in that case. But does it happen close by? Because if it happened close by, then there may be other issues that may happen. Although they didn't happen fast enough, but they are happening close by, that could cause problems. So let's think about it. How would you know where the breakdown happened? Now, if you took a course, semiconductor device course like 606, then I won't have to remind you that the current has two components, drift component, diffusion component, and drift component, right? That's something we know. Now, divergence of the current is equal to zero when? If you don't have any generation or recombination, then divergence of J is equal to zero. Meaning that whatever number of particles are coming in a box, they must get out because they didn't recombine anywhere. So that's what that means. So if you put this divergence in, you will have one term, which will be the second derivative of N, that's diffusion. And when you do diodes, bipolar transistors and all, we say that the electric field is zero. And we solve this diffusion approximation, minority carriers. This one, when do we solve this one? For a MOSFET. When the MOSFET, when you have the drift, right? We have the volt saturation. We say the diffusion is negligible. Diffusion is important for subthreshold. This one is important when we are looking at the saturated current. We want to look at that. All right. This is something all of us know. I just want to use it in 2 minutes. I want to show you where the breakdown happened. You can find out in 2 seconds if you just know this. So let's see how it works. Assume that a oxide, you had been looking at the oxide and looking at the gate leakage, and the gate leakage jumped. If the gate leakage jumped, and immediately you can measure the current IES and ID. Why? Because the current has to come from there and then it has to get out. It cannot come from the body because body requires recombination to talk to the conduction band. I'm just thinking about conduction band. It was in inversion, it broke, and the electron and hole must be reflected in the source and drain. Now, do you see from here, without any theory, if the breakdown happened in the middle, what will happen for the source and drain current? They will be exactly equal to each other. If it happened on one side, whatever side it happened close by, that current will be more and the other current will be less. So let's see how it works. So let's start with the equation on the right hand side. Assume that we do not have any drift. We are just having diffusion. So therefore, your equation would be second derivative of N is equal to zero, no generation recombination. The solution of N is equal to AX plus B. And then you can calculate the source current. How would you calculate the source current? You have the whatever number of carriers injected at the breakdown point, and the source contact will have zero concentration. So you'll have this diffusion gradient will give you the slope. And the other current, other diffusion gradient, will give you the other current, the drain current. If it happens in the middle, the two slopes will be exactly balanced. And so therefore the ratio of the current will be equal to 1 or half, equal to 1. If it's one side or other, you get the idea. And so therefore in 2 lines of algebra, you can show the position of the breakdown spot is given by ID divided by IS plus ID. Does it make any sense? Let's say ID and IS are equal to each other. Where is the breakdown? Breakdown is right in the middle of the channel. If ID is equal to, almost equal to 1. IS is equal to 0. Where is the breakdown? Is equal to at LC. So therefore, all you have to do to know where the breakdown happened is to look at the source drain current ratio. Not,
How do you measure the source time current?
You put an ammeter there. Source drain current, how do you measure source drain current?
No, what I'm saying is usually when we measure the current, we measure from drain to source. So
yeah, because in that case, current is continuous. So therefore, you can measure one. Yeah. But here, the current is not continuous. Your current is coming from the gate and going to source and drain.
Okay, so we're measuring between gate and source and drain.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Now, you have to accumulate it. Accumulate the transistor. Otherwise, it will not diffuse, right? Otherwise, it will be drift. Drift is fine also. I'll show you in a second. But you get the idea. Just look at the current ratio. Yes.
There is no bulk contact.
There is bulk contact. There is bulk contact, but the bulk contact will not talk to source and drain.
Is it floating?
You can keep it floating. But first of all, the source and drain are very close by. That's one thing. And there's no recombination. If you don't have any recombination, the bulk can only talk to the body through recombination, right? Otherwise, or through junction leakage. Remember, everything is grounded. All this is grounded. So therefore, so just source and drain current. Zeroth order. Let's see how it works. And so this is how people do experiments. They take a camera and then they look at where the breakdown happens. So on the left-hand side, every little rectangle is a device and the red point is where the breakdown happened. And why red? Of course, that's a lot of heat is getting generated, so there'll be a flash of light. And you can look at the breakdown position, and S is the ratio of ID divided by IS plus ID. And you just find out, why does this breakdown happen? This happened close to the drain. And so the position, the ratio, current ratio would be close to equal to 1. Now, do you see, this is not exactly straight. Does it bother you? It should. Why is it not exactly straight? I mean, the theory I just told you, it should have been a straight line. It looks like a slightly S-shaped. Why is it? Because if you are close to the source and drain contact, then you are in the depletion, in the potential. If my injection is here, diffusion this side is fine. That's the theory I used. If my breakdown is here, then it is not the ratio of this distance to this distance, because I cannot neglect drift here. Everything that will happen here will all go to the drain. Everything that will happen here will all go to the source. And therefore, hence the slight S-shaped behavior of this curve, because everything goes to the source, and therefore you assume that as if everything is broken to the source, but not really. So you have to throw this part out and that part out and then see whether the breakdowns are random. This picture, this panel on the left and the panel on the right is the same. What is the difference? You have just rearranged them so that all the broken points has a same shape. Now, of course, once you know the theory, you will never take the image again. Why should you take the image? Because you know just measuring source drain current gives you everything. So therefore, no reason to take the image anymore, because it takes money and this is good for a PhD thesis. But of course, when you want to work on it and really do real work, then you don't take a camera and take pictures. All right. I could do the first breakdown. Can I do the second breakdown? Of course. Remember what happened. The current came, jumped once. Source drain current, I got a jump. Then the second breakdown happened. Source drain current will again get a jump, differential jump, right? And from that ratio again, I can find where the second breakdown happened, where the third breakdown happened, when the fourth breakdown happened, right? From the jump in the drain current. And once I do that, I can find out the position of the, so for example, this one, where did this one break? The first breakdown happened close to the middle, right? And the second breakdown happened close to the source. This point, for example, let's say this point, first breakdown happened in the middle, second breakdown happened very close to the middle. This is that P squared term. Remember the first breakdown and second breakdown, choose 2 out of n. These are the consequences of that. Now, you can immediately see I have to throw certain regions out, right? I have to throw the reagents which are close to the source and close to the drain. So I'll have to put a small box and then analyze the statistics of this data. And then I can tell you whether things are perfectly spatially uncorrelated or spatially correlated. So let's see how it works. Now, can I expect that you know? If you don't know, you have to do it as a homework. That if you have a random breakdown, the cumulative probability that you have a breakdown up to X is proportional to X. You can throw a dart randomly at any point, and the probability that starting from 0 to position X, you have a certain number of breakdown is proportional to that breakdown, if it's completely uncorrelated. And so the probability of X being less than X1 is equal, the breakdown being less than X is X. Now, for the second one, you have to do two lines of algebra. I do have to assign you as a homework. That if you have two breakdowns, you throw two darts on a line, the difference, of course, what is the maximum distance could it be? One could be at one end, first breakdown could be here, second breakdown could be here. The maximum could be one. What could be the minimum? They could be on top of each other, sort of. It could be zero. So the probability will be, the difference probability will be between zero and one. But do you see that one can only happen one way? Because this whole thing is maximum distance. But a smaller distance could happen in many more ways. This could happen here, happen here, happen here, happen here, happen here. And so therefore, if you do that math, few lines, the difference between X1 and X2 position being less than X is 2X minus X squared. Does it make sense? If the X value is zero, then of course its difference is zero. So they are together. What is the maximum value? X equals 1. 2 minus 1 is 1. So that's the maximum value. So this would be your homework. See whether you can derive it. So we take that smaller box. Why? Because close to source and drain, we have to throw it out, right? Yellow points. And then you look at the correlation. Take the first position, take every point, and look whether they are randomly distributed. So first go in the x-axis and see whether for every point, you count the number of points up to x and then plot them out and see whether it's a straight line. If it is a straight line, then the first breakdown happened randomly, completely randomly. So that is the location of the first breakdown spot. It is linear up to a point x. And so therefore, first breakdown for sure, Weibull required it, that it happens in random places. Area scaling required it. And so therefore, this one is a perfectly linear line. Now the second breakdown, we are not so sure. Because in the second breakdown, what might happen is the first breakdown may push things close by. 2x minus x squared gives you this, on this cumulative PDF, distance between first and second. Right? So you take that point. How do you get it? From the previous plot, you had x1 from the x-axis and x2 from the y-axis. You just take the difference of those two values. The red open squares are experimental data. The lines, the farthest black line is a theory, completely uncorrelated theory. 2x minus x squared. If you correlate it, then of course the second breakdown will happen a little bit closer. So it cannot be, the first cannot happen at 0 and the second cannot happen at 1, because they will happen a little bit closer. So the whole curves will crunch to the left, right? If it is forced, the second breakdown is forced. And so you can get x equals 0.6, 0.2. If it happens, all other breakdowns happens within 20% of the first point, then that will be the last black line. And the experiments show that it is slightly correlated, but essentially uncorrelated, right? You see, the curve essentially is going. In the beginning, there is some which is slightly deviating from it, but then subsequently, you can have essentially random. That's xi equals 0.25. Remember, time correlation, we saw that things are accelerating a little bit. This is the space reflection of that time correlation.
For this calculation of distance between first and second breakdown, are we considering only the nearest neighbor, right?
nearest neighbor
to that breakdown.
What
like
do you mean?
What do we mean by first and second soft breakdown? Distance between first and second.
Wherever the first breakdown position happened and wherever the second breakdown position occurred.
But how do we know which one was second and which one was first?
Because when the current jumped,
okay,
I took the source and drain current ratio for that jump. And therefore, that ratio will only identify that breakdown, right?
So, the picture that you showed with various defects, like that had many defects, but...
No, I'm sorry. Let me come back to this. I'll come back to this because I think I have missed I have failed to explain an important point. I'll come back to this. Just hold on to this question. Let me finish this and... Okay. But you can do it by voltage method also. If you say, I don't want to go to the accumulation, okay, fine. You stay with accumulation. So in that case, what will happen? That the diffusion current is zero. If you are in inversion, drift current is everything. So what you do is this time, instead of measuring current, you measure the floating drain voltage. If you measure the floating drain voltage, let's say current is coming from the source and getting out through the breakdown spot, then the voltage drop that will happen will only happen between zero and the breakdown spot, right? Because it's a resistance, and so there's a voltage drop. Subsequently, nothing will have drop because there's no current to the drain. So there'll be nothing to the drop. Farther out the breakdown is, higher will be the VD. Higher will be the VD. And so by looking at how much voltage you have, you can say where the breakdown occurred. If the breakdown occurred very close to the source, your VD will be minuscule. So from that, you can again calculate where your breakdown spot is. Of course, you don't have to just rely on the drain voltage. You could do the whole thing by the source voltage also. Pump a current between drain to the breakdown spot and look what the source voltage is. If these two things are good, they both should give you the same answer. It has to give you the same answer. So again, the theory is very simple, divergence of zero, this time diffusion current is equal to zero, so you have this, but it looks like the same equation. If it is the same equation, the solution is Vd is rho xid, rho x is the, you know, the distance from the to the breakdown part, and if you go from the other side, L minus x. Take the ratio one more time, x divided by L, take this ratio, once again it will give you the breakdown spots. Again, you can get exactly the same answer. So you do it very various methods, 1D current ratio method or 1D voltage ratio method. If this red points, the open squares, they will be on top of each other. If you have done it right, it will give you exactly the same answer. Okay. So I have proved, hopefully, in this lecture that breakdown doesn't accelerate. But I haven't answered this question, why doesn't it accelerate? Shouldn't it accelerate? I mean, if somebody has a heart attack, subsequently his health is poorer. Why doesn't it accelerate? That's the question I haven't answered. I've said that it does not accelerate. And is it always true? Historically, did it accelerate? Heart breakdown should have never occurred. If it never accelerated like this, it should have never occurred. So, let me explain why it is weak. Spatial or temporal. In both cases, we saw was 0.25. So that was also very weak.
Okay, so it's weak.
Yeah, space and temporal. I'm just asking why it happened. And the answer will be in next 2-3 slides and we'll be done with this lecture. I spent some time in explaining to you on the right-hand plot, this quantum yield experiment. And the idea was that when you have direct tunneling current, the electrons get out with a lot of energy, generates a lot of holes, the holes come back and create damage. But there's a very special thing about stress-induced leakage current was when you have defects, it catches the electron in the 10th floor and it releases the electron at the 4th floor. It relaxes in energy and then it releases. And so therefore, when the current comes out, this has far smaller energy. And therefore, it does not produce as many holes. You remember, right? This quantum yield experiment, You need an exam. I see. And so the question is that if you understood that point, then you will understand why the correlation is so strong. Do you remember at least one thing that in quantum field, or maybe that's already in the next slide. I'm trying to show that why the red and the black arrows, why are not, they are not correlated. Think about the quantum field experiment. On the y-axis, I have the number of holes created divided by the number of electrons that came in. So it simply says that whether if it's energetic, then as a function of Vd. Consider an old oxide. Consider you are born in 1980s or maybe 1960s. You are on the 14 and 12 volt side. Your tunneling current, whatever is coming out, has a certain energy. You have certain amount of relaxation of the stress-induced leakage current shown here in the red and in the cyan. Both of them, even after relaxation, it has a lot of energy. So therefore, it can, even the ones when you have leakage current, it can create a lot of defects on its own. So things will rapidly become correlated because the broken path can even create a lot of local defects. Think about a modern transistor. A modern transistor operates at much lower voltage. The tunneling current, whatever probability it had, the stress-induced leakage current through that defect has exponentially suppressed ability to generate holes, right? Because the energy has reduced considerably. And so therefore, what will happen, although you have many more electrons flowing through the silk path, their ability to create additional defects through the holes is actually minuscule. Therefore, what happens? So these are experimental curves. For example, you can do Monte Carlo simulation, that is a solid line. I just want to tell you that at low voltages, the probability falls very, very rapidly. You can do it in very, many different ways. This is a quantum yield experiment on the right, and the theory and measurement of the quantum yield on the left. This was Shin's advisor, who is Takagi, does very, very beautiful work, and most of his work on this topic is due to him. So this is my summary slide. Before breakdown, let's say the tunneling current was a certain value given here in the blue. All position in the gate oxide. Remember, the gate oxide, uniform tunneling going through. And uniform number of holes generated coming back and attacking the oxide, alpha TP. Alpha is the hole generation probability. Everywhere, same number of holes are coming back and attacking you. Now, all of a sudden, a breakdown path forms. And therefore, there is at a certain location, X1, there is a jump in the current. Right? That's what the jump in the quantized jump in the current would be. But even though you have this jump in the current, this can be two orders of magnitude higher, or maybe an order of magnitude higher. Your quantum yield efficiency is three orders of magnitude less. So although I have shown you on the right-hand side this little box showing enhanced hole generation, actually you will not be able to see it distinguished from the blue line. There is essentially no enhancement whatsoever of the defect generation rate because of this loss, structural relaxation. And therefore, these things will be completely uncorrelated as if nothing has happened. Lot of people are coming out through that percolation path, but they are very ineffective. And so therefore, the whole thing assumes that it's as if the defects are still being generated by the gate leakage current. So to conclude then, I tried to show you both the time and position correlation and that they are weak. I told you about leakage current and how it can be used as a monitor. Now, this is very fundamental. I tried to combine very things. That's why all those experiments I explained, there is a specific purpose. The quantum yield experiment, I spend that amount of time because without the quantum yield, this fundamental question that how soft breakdown enhances lifetime could not have been answered. And now you know. that why it sort of works. Okay, so that's it. I'll end here.